Good evening. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority, August 16th, 6 p.m. We're meeting at the Carson City Community Center Sierra Room. Would you please call the roll, Madam Secretary?
Chairperson Law?
Here.
Vice Chair Val?
Here.
Member Barrett?
Here.
Member Harvey?
Here.
Member Torres? Member White?
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. Would you all rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would move at this time for the approval of the minutes, the past meeting of the Airport Authority. Does anybody have any corrections or changes as the minutes for the July meeting were submitted to us? And do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion from Member Val, from Vice Chair Val, and a second from Treasurer Harvey to accept the minutes from the July meeting. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None heard? Unanimous by those present. Item D on the agenda, modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process the agenda items. Items may be taken out of order. Items may be combined for consideration by the authority, and they may be pulled or removed from the agenda at any time. Item E, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. Is there any public comment at this time? None seen. We'll move forward. Public hearing portion, item F1, for possible action, discussion and confirmation of hiring of interim airport manager. I will take this item. I met with a number of people at the airport. I received 2 people's offers to assist us with an interim position. After due consideration, I have offered that interim position to Mr. Dirk Zatella. And I would ask for your support for his hiring in the interim between now and the time we start the review process for a permanent airport manager. Do I have any discussion on the item? Vice Chair Val.
My position on the board is to represent the interests of the FBOs, and I've heard from 3 different FBOs that were not very excited or enthusiastic about Mr. Zatilla being appointed to his position. I want to go on record as you know, representing their interests and letting the full board know that the FBOs at the airport, are the ones that I've spoken with, are not really pleased with this decision. Mr. Zatilla previously was in this role, and there is some history there. It's my personal feeling that we should not be digging up the past and repeating it again, that we should find someone new. And I do realize that we all have things that we need to do. So I've offered before and I'll offer again, if in the chair's absence, if you need anything, I'm more than happy to step in there. But I definitely want to go on record as being vehemently opposed to appointing him in a temporary capacity. Everyone that I spoke with, there was a lot of vitriol that came out about him, and I understand that, you know, those things are in the past, but and I wasn't here, so I wasn't here to personally experience them. But I would like you know, everybody else on the board to know that it's not a popular decision to be doing this. And as a board, the FBOs, which we are supposed to be representing their interests as airport users, are not pleased with this decision. That's it.
Member White.
Did any of those FBOs offer to take on the interim manager position?
No.
Did they have any suggestions, any direction as to what we should do outside of this decision?
Not at all, and that's specifically why I'm offering my services, if the chair feels that she needs some assistance or something along those lines. I feel that I'd be a little bit remiss to sit up here and say, oh, this is bad, don't do it, and then not have a solution for that. I absolutely don't. I don't have any other candidates for this position, and I know that we have, you mentioned you only had two people that actually submitted for it, and this was the best candidate of the two. But again, we took an oath to represent the folks and, you know, uphold the laws and all that, and I feel that if I don't at least say something that these people are upset, that they're going to come down on us. But specifically, it was said to me by no less than three different FBO operators that this was a bad decision and that we don't know what we're getting into. And again, I wasn't here, so I have no idea what the history was on that. And I personally don't have time to sit through hours and hours and hours of meeting tapes to figure out what was said and who did this and who did that. I personally would like to see us move forward. So it's my personal opinion that he's not a bad candidate. But as the representative on board who's representing the FBO's interests, I have to at least vocalize those and let the board know that the FBOs are not happy about this decision.
Member Barrett.
Obviously, I'm not necessarily here to just represent the FBOs. I'm here to represent the city. And I would ask, first of all, who was the other candidate? Is that the person who was here the last meeting or someone else?
The other person who said that they would take it if we had no other choice was Yvonne Weaver. And she is, of course, married to Neil Weaver, who owns Weaver Aircraft on site. I met with her this morning and told her that after discussing, after listening with several people that I sat with at the airport, I actively sought out a number of FBO operators and other people, users of the airport, and there were probably just as many dissenting votes for one as the other, and the overall concern that I have is the day-to-day operations of the office and his being familiar with the processes that are in that office at this time swayed me to believe that he would be the better choice. Any other questions? Any public comment? Treasurer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know also, I don't represent the FBOs, it's the manufacturing sector, I guess, is technically what I'm coming from, and so that I respect the FBOs, and I do represent them in that capacity as a board member, but the people I talked to, I think, were similarly noncommittal. I don't think no one came to me saying no. It was more like, well, they know we need a part-time person or an interim person. This isn't long-term, this isn't the end, this is short-term, and I think that was very specific to this individual. They came forward to us saying this is for a temporary role, wasn't meant to be permanent. And I think I've seen the work you've been doing, Ms. Chair, and you are doing lots of work as the manager, and I don't think that's quite appropriate. And I know you have things you have to do. I know that Dirk has done this job. So although I understand the concerns, I'm inclined to support your decision. Because it's going to be for a short interim period. And certainly, I think any concerns should be given to the chair so that she can direct the new manager on any issues that come up to make sure they don't occur again. I think that's appropriate. Just thought I'd throw in my two cents.
Another question? Member Barrett.
How long are we talking, do we think?
I think that we are probably looking at a 90 to 100-day, 120-day stint. The other thing I might add is that in working with Mr. Zatilla today, which I asked him to come in and at least so that I could see how familiar he was with the office, I asked him specifically during that time if he would be willing to work with either myself, the vice chair, or the treasurer, so that he had guidance from the board with what he was to do and so forth. And he certainly said that was viable and that he would actively pursue those inputs. So I feel confident that for the interim period of time, at least, that would be the best choice. Public comment. Come forward, please. Sign in and state your name and spell it.
Eric Leach. L-A-E-T-S-C-H. I'm very concerned and very troubled by what I'm hearing from Vice Chairman Vogel. I think the point that you made is very, very important, but of course we're stuck, you're all stuck with having heard generalities without specifics. And in the audience, I don't have any right to the specifics, but I think on the board you do. I have no idea what went on there. I was involved in the community at that time. I have no idea, pro or con, on the candidate that you have, you're considering. But what I do know is that that was a very tumultuous time. As you all may or may not know, the opening, let's put it that way, occurred when the part-time manager, Yvonne Weaver, left. It was very, very controversial in the community and very, very controversial on the airport. And so what I don't know, cannot know, but hopefully Mr. Vogel can factor this in, is whether some of the negative comments you had might or might not have been tumult that the candidate took over. I could just imagine if I had had to step into that role, it would have been very, very difficult. So, again, I can't vote. I can't advocate one way or the other, but it is a very tumultuous time, and I'm very concerned with the generality of the comments and whether you have a way to get more specific on that or if you've already talked with our chairperson so that, Chairman, are you aware of the concerns in detail so that they're fact part of your recommendation?
I'm not necessarily immersed in them, but I've certainly heard those concerns.
Okay, and so yes. So your recommendation is yes. Coming to us with full knowledge that we cannot have.
Choose. We have a segment on the airport that are going to be very vociferous on the other side.
Okay, all right. The other, I have a much more general comment, and that is, I haven't heard the details of the proposed employment, whether it's full-time, part-time, the level of compensation, and so on.
I would ask our counsel if we are in a position to divulge that.
As to whether it's the engagement is for full-time work or part-time work? Yeah, we can do that.
But I mean compensation-wise.
Well, it'll end up being a public record, so it's okay, yeah. The arrangement is independent contractor arrangement. I think that's important to state.
Okay. In talking with Mr. Zatella, he has agreed to work for full-time, 24/7, emergency services and so forth with no overtime. He will not be an employee of the airport. He will be an independent contractor responsible for his own taxes and reporting. He has also asked that because of issues private to him, that he be paid for the first month in this year and the balance of what is owed to him be paid after the 1st of January in 2018. The independent contract agreement lists the engagement of what we are asking him to do. If you want details on that, I can certainly do it. The representations of the contractor warrant and covenant as follows. The contractor has and shall during the term of this agreement maintain such licenses or certificates to perform services hereunder as shall be required under state or federal law. The contractor has and shall during the term of this agreement perform all contract services in accordance with provision of the Carson City Municipal Code, airport regulations and policies as directed by and in consultation with the authority. The contractor is not and will not during the term of this agreement be engaged in other aviation or non-aviation businesses, including but not limited to the operation of FBO services. In addition, contractor shall not, during the term of this agreement, enter into other agreements to offer services nor acquire an ownership interest in other airports that compete with Carson City Airport unless such arrangements have been approved in advance by the Carson City Airport Authority, and he agrees to cooperate and assist with FAA officials as regards operation, airport operation funding and improvement project, improvements at the airport. The term is to commence on August 16th, 2017, and expire 30 days after the hiring of the next airport manager by the authority, which will allow for training of the next manager. Compensation will be $5,000 a month, with the first payment due on October 15th, 2017, and if still engaged thereafter, payment to be made 90 days thereafter, which puts it into 2018. The contractor acknowledges that the fee is a flat fee without respect to time spent and that the authority does not pay overtime. As a result, there is no guarantee of profit or loss for the contractor. Rather, the contractor's financial profit is dependent upon the contractor's efficiency. Any amendments to compensation shall be in writing, signed, and dated by the parties hereto. It allows for the reimbursement of expenses used on behalf of the airport, as long as they are identified and pre-approved by the chair or treasurer. It allows him to execute, deliver, and endorse checks and claim forms and pay our bills, to deposit monies that are received, and to execute and deliver any other documents, applications, or forms required by third-party payers in relation to the airport services under the agreement. Termination, it allows either party may terminate this agreement without cause, reason, or justification by giving written notice stating the date of the termination, said notice to be given at least but not earlier than 30 days prior to the date of termination unless circumstances exist under which the contractor cannot perform or the general safety of the airport and the general public requires shorter notice. And then it goes through the terms and what disability is considered and that sort of thing. It talks about confidentiality and what his responsibilities are about confidential information and at the airport and about clients and that sort of thing in a non-disclosure portion. It talks about if there is any change to the document that is to be in writing and that it is to be provided to the authority through communication with our attorney, Mr. Takis, and to him at his residence address. It talks about severability and full intent, and if any part of it is found to be void or unenforceable, the remainder stays in place. It talks about it being under the governing laws of state of Nevada, and that it's binding on the parties. And it talks about it being able to be signed in counterparts or as a whole. Are there any questions? Yes.
First question, I don't know if I heard this or not, was insurance. So is he carrying his own errors and omissions or liability, or are we on the hook for that? Is the contract silent on those issues?
In terms of errors and omissions, we have a certain amount of liability protection here in the airport. I don't think we built that into the contract that he would have to carry any additional insurance. I think our remedy is if something is going sideways, we stop it or we terminate them. We do whatever we need to do. But I don't think we looked at it from the standpoint of having him having his own E&O insurance. And I want to add one other thing. The general format for the independent contractor agreement that we're using, we've used before when we've had other interim or short-term tasks to get done. And so the form of the contract is not so unique, although I would grant you that when it came back to me, it was improved from the version that I had started with. So Linda and some others must have did a little bit of work on it. It's a better contract than I had.
Okay, and the other question is, I'm aware of what the issue was for the delaying the payment, and I'm strongly opposed to that. Without divulging what it is, it's a situation that I think put some liability on us as potentially accessories to something that we don't want to be associated with.
Yeah. Let me address that. We put in the compensation timing at his request. We're simply accommodating his request. Whether it works or it addresses whatever personal issue he has, that's his business, not ours. And so we're not doing anything in our contract to help him achieve or not achieve whatever personal issue he's dealing with. We're simply putting in a payment time frame, and there's nothing in the law that prohibits us from doing that.
There may not be anything in the law, but we are actually aware of what that issue is, and it's something that really skirts the intent of another law that's at the federal level. And I personally, having taken and sworn an oath to uphold the laws, cannot support that.
I'm afraid I'm not clear on what it is.
I'm trying not to say what it is. It's not my issue, but the fact that we know and we're aware of what that particular issue is kind of gives us a certain amount of culpability if something were to go awry or somebody were to, you know, I just can't support it. I mean, I would really strongly prefer that we put this to a standard 30-day net 30 billings like any other contract. How many times have we ever had a request like this on any other contract to delay payment until next fiscal year?
I don't recall having that request before, but I don't see this as a big deal. I'm not familiar with the intimate details of whatever the private issue is, the confidential issue is. But like I said, that's on his side of the equation, whether that works for him or not. It's not, we're not being complicit in any kind of action that I'm aware of that's illegal or fraudulent or any of that stuff. If we were, then I would have grave concerns, but I don't see that.
I can honestly say that having worked as an independent contractor in the past, I have on several jobs asked for various types of payment schedules for whatever reason. And I don't see this as any different personally. Member White.
So he's just asking for a delayed payment till after first of the year, not the next fiscal year.
Correct.
Because that's clear to July.
That is correct.
So as a private contractor, how is he going to get paid? Do we just automatically cut him a check, or does he submit a bill? And if he wants to be paid after the first of the year, submit his bill afterwards.
Right, and that was my
okay.
Discussion with him is we will pay the first payment when he submits his bill, and we'll pay the balance of it when he submits the next one.
Couldn't we have just easily just put something in the contract rather than writing that in, just saying we'll pay you, you know, net 30 from when you submit an invoice?
We can certainly change the contract to say that.
We can make that change. That's an easy one.
So this is a 1099 situation? Okay.
That is correct. Any other questions? Any other comments? Mr. Lish?
I would like to hear
Member
from
White.
I would like to hear from Mr. Zatella a few questions.
Please come forward, sign in, and state your name.
Dirk Zatella. It's Zahtilla.
Good evening, Dirk.
Hi.
Thank you for your interest in helping us out in this time that we need a little help. So have you read the contract? Are you good with all the provisions in the contract?
I have not seen it. From what I heard, I didn't hear anything out of order. I mean, it just sounds pretty standard to me. And to comment about the contractor thing, I've been a licensed general contractor since 1994, I believe. And when I, for most jobs I did, unless they were really big jobs, I would get a down payment that, you know, and you're limited as to how much you can get in that position. And I wouldn't get any further payment until the job was done. It's not an unusual situation. So it's, you know, I don't think it should be that big of an issue.
So I have been attending Airport Authority meetings since the time you were the interim manager. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of some of those issues that come up or came up. Are you prepared to work in a manner to avoid a repeat of those situations?
Yeah, I you know, and I don't know specifically who you're talking about, but I bet I could guess. as Mr. Leach has said, there was a lot going on. There was a lot of controversy, a lot of infighting between various groups on the airport at that time. It was basically a big mess. And, you know, and I jumped right into the middle of it. And so, you know, whether I handled things the best way I could or not, I did my best. And, you know, there were issues where there was just, you were just not going to win. I mean, people were just plain mad, and that was the way it was going to be. And if you're sitting in that chair, you're the target. And so, you know, and you were there, you saw what went on, I'm sure, and it wasn't particularly fun. I don't think things are anywhere near at that level now the way they were then. I hope things have calmed down a little bit since then. I think so. So I don't foresee so much controversy going on. And talking with Chairman Law today and discussing that very issue, I'm not trying to go in there to be, you know, the guy that's fighting all these battles with people. If somebody comes to me with an issue and I don't have the answer for them, I'm going to bring it back here. As simple as that. I'm going to just be the go-between, if you will, and deal with the situation that way. I just don't see it being so volatile. So.
Vice Chair.
Do we have a statement of work that's been agreed upon to go along with this contract in terms of what the scope of duties and all that are going to be? Are they?
Well, you don't have a job description other than the one that's in Title 19, which says that the airport manager handles the operations at the airport, basically, and that's that.
Actually,
I understand
actually,
what they are.
There has been one created, and before you sign this contract, I will have you read it. We locked it in the airport office tonight.
Okay, well, that's...
But that wasn't the question, though. The question is, does this contract specifically have a statement of work in terms of what we expect from the interim manager, regardless of what 19 says, what do we expect in the short term? Either as an appendix or an attachment or something like that?
The full engagement of services reads, contractor agrees to provide interim professional airport management services on Carson City Airport on behalf of the Carson City Airport Authority at the airport's location and with work and meetings to be conducted at such other offices and such other mutually agreed upon locations as may be required. Airport management shall include all ordinary functions for operation of a municipal airport, including but not limited to maintaining a point of contact for all airport related communications, complaints, notices to airmen, inspection of airport properties at the direction of the authority, management of leasehold interest, coordination of rent, receipt of rents and fees, coordination of operations on the airport, managed processes for the FBO licensing and communications, notifications to pilots and other users of the airport of matters important to safe and efficient operation of the airport, keeping records as necessary, providing advice to the authority on airport operations, operating with the Carson City Sheriff's, cooperating with the Carson City Sheriff's Department and others as to matters involving violations of law, and keeping the peace.
After hours?
Yes, it's 24/7.
In terms of like response, is there a minimum response time or anything like that? No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. So it is my intention, if he is accepted as our interim, to go over those documents with him tomorrow before they're signed. And I can provide copies of those to the members at that point when it's agreed upon.
One more question. And my recollection, is that Mr. Zatilla isn't looking to be the permanent, and that's my memory. I just want to refresh it.
That is correct.
That's correct.
That was his comment to me when he walked in the front door a month ago.
That's my recollection.
Yes.
Thank you.
Further comments?
Go ahead.
So since you don't want to be the permanent, is there a maximum time limit for when you would say, hey, you know, this is enough, like, you know, to keep signing down,
you know,
down someone?
I don't know. I mean, my estimate is probably about the same as yours. I figured this was going to be probably a six-month period, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. If it goes beyond that for some reason, we can talk. You know, I'm trying to be flexible.
Our expectations are aligned, so
yeah.
That's where you are, and I think that's kind of where we were.
And, you know, I just... One more thing. I'm doing this to serve this group and to serve the airport. If you come to me a week from now and say, this isn't working, I don't like you, I have no problem with that. I'm here for you guys. I'm not here to be controversial or anything like that. So, you know, we're here to please, that's all. So if it doesn't work for you, you just say the word and I'm down the road. So, okay.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thanks.
Stilla. Public comment.
Eric Leach. With Mr. Zatilla's name in front of me, perhaps for the first time in my speaking on this subject, I can at least refer to his name correctly. I apologize for not having done that in the past. I'm very troubled by this. I hope those of you that have seen me come before this authority for the last 15 years or so have gotten the impression I tend to think through things before I come up here. There have been some occasions when it's not been true. Having seen the agenda item of an interim manager, I came into the room this evening thinking, boy, I hope that they're going to do a part-time deal with Mr. Zatilla. Sound like a pretty good solution, get some of the day-to-day work off our chairman's shoulders. And I am, now that I've heard more of the terms of what's being proposed, I'm very troubled. I think you're being asked to consider something that is far beyond what we need to do and should be doing at this time. It's my understanding that there is a committee that is looking at the needs for the airport, looking forward to a chairman position. And, of course, I believe that is next on the agenda, so we'll hear more about where you are. I also recognize that German law, for you to be recommending this, you have given this a great deal of thought. This is not an off-the-cuff idea. You have thought about this. You think with a lot of knowledge that this is the thing to be done. So I'm troubled to be here with less information resisting your proposal. But there is nothing that I can think of that justifies a full-time position for an interim manager. We as a community have talked about this before. For years, this position was handled by a part-time person. For the last several years, it's been handled by a part-time person who was paid full-time. I don't know Mr. Zatilla, but my guess is, my assumption walking into this room was that he probably would be just a very good candidate to do the administrative kinds of tasks, and it would probably be a 2 or 3 hour a day job, which would probably be worth paying him proportionately. Now, I know that among the things that are being considered for a full-time person is someone that can go out and can do can't remember what the Mr. Harvey, your phrase on it was ideal, effectively job development, economic development. All right. I have no reason to know whether Mr. Zatilla is qualified to do that. I don't know if we want our interim manager out trying to represent this airport and try to develop new contacts. It seems to me that what would be helpful in the near term is someone to take the administrative duties off Chairman Law's shoulders. That's a 2 or 3 hour a day job at maximum. I don't know we need to pay somebody $5,000 a month to be in there for 5 hours a day answering the phone and being available to chat with people who want to come in and chat, because if he's there, somebody will come in and want to come in and talk to him. I realize that something needs to be done on an interim basis, but it seems to me that with the question as to whether the statement of work is satisfactory to the board, and with the questions that Mr. Vowell has raised, is there a way to handle this by putting it off for maybe 2 weeks? You want to come back with a special meeting in 2 weeks with more information?
I can tell you right now, I have been at the airport since the 16th of July. Very few days have I been there less than 7 hours. There are things that have not been done for the past few years, and I will not get into the detail of it, but I'm telling you now that if someone doesn't come in on a full-time basis and do the projects that need to be done to catch us up, we will not be ready for a new full-time manager, part-time or otherwise.
I think your catch-up point answers a lot of what I'm concerned with, and I think that's a very, very important point that you have filled in. Because, yes, I'm aware of what hasn't been done with our full-time manager for the last, what, 7 or 8 years. So I think that's a very, very important point that you've had to determine.
Vice Chair.
Hey, I think you might have keyed up on a word that she said when she was reading the statement of work, that paragraph in there, something about contacts. It was something that we talked about today, where for years we've been looking for a list of contacts of people that are actually leaseholders and how to get a hold of them, where they are, what their unit numbers are. That's not the same as economic development, running out, making new contacts in the business public at large. I think you might have heard that, and maybe you misinterpreted it. Okay.
That's not what I was trying to figure out, what in the world someone would do for this many hours, and Chairman Law has answered that. And I thought that when we get to a properly managed full-time person, they're not going to need to be spending 7 hours a day doing administrative duties. The important task for the full-time manager, the future manager, will be this economic development. And Chairman Law answered my question as to this gaposis. You've got my concerns. Thank you.
Member White.
That kind of keyed another question in my mind. We keep talking about administrative duties. That, in my mind, puts the person strictly inside with the air conditioning on. How are we handling are the physical maintenance needs and our other employee who apparently now is under your command?
I can tell you that in my perspective, in my view, quite a lot of the things that were done or not done on the airport were the direct result of a lack of management to that person. Our maintenance person has done a tremendous amount since I've been there at my request, and he has a schedule of things that he's been doing. He has come in contact with some people who were less than pleased with his response to what they did, and I can tell you that in my opinion, he was doing what he had been told to do over the years, and I think he is moving forward and becoming more dependable and more accountable as the days go by.
So will Dirk be giving him direction, or will that stay with you?
Dirk will be giving him direction, and I will be reviewing it. I'm leaving town on Friday. Mm-hmm. I will be gone 2 weeks. When I get back, I'm giving him a list tomorrow of what will be done while I'm gone. And when I get back, we will review it and see what other directions we need to go.
Will you be in contact? Will you be able to manage remotely?
Well, I don't know that I would be. I will be subject to questions and answers. We went over a tremendous amount of what was in the office today. I think he's got that pretty well lined out in his mind as what needs to be done. And when I get back, I'm going to be doing a tremendous amount of analysis work, so that we can move forward and make sure that we're doing the best we can with collecting the rents and revenues and so forth that are due to the airport. Vice Chair.
I'd like to remind that kind of the role, as I understand it, of the Vice Chair is to fulfill the role of the Chair when they're not available. So at any time, if something needs immediate attention, you can always call me. And secondly, I kind of want to take exception to having a contractor directing a full-time employee. I'm not quite sure that that's right. I've been in that role before, and it's incredibly uncomfortable, especially when you've got a transient person that may or may not be there at any particular point in the future. So I would request that you reconsider that dynamic and be a little bit more involved in some of the direction of what Gary might be doing, because he might learn to do a specific thing one way and then come back and find the board's not real happy with him. And I don't think that's fair to him for us to be kind of, now here's your daddy.
I understand that. That's one of the reasons that when we had the discussion today, I explained to him that you and Larry both are, myself included, available to him in the next 2 weeks to plot that out and decide what needs to be done in what order. Member Barrett?
Yeah, I don't totally disagree, but I certainly don't agree. I actually found myself in the position of being an interim manager at one point. I had 4 employees. They answered to me, and that's the way it needs to be if you're going to have somebody in there for 90 days to 180 days. However, he is accountable to us, or to Chairman Law or Vice Chairman. But in just day-to-day operation, our employee needs to go through him as the contracted interim manager, even though he's a contract employee. But I understand that your point isn't badly, voiced. Both things can cause problems. Hopefully they won't arise, and that's why the communication is needed. But as a former interim contract employee manager, I managed, and that's just the way it has to be.
Mr. Lesh.
Bringing together everything I've heard, and I recall perhaps last meeting, I suggested that one of the ways to deal with what we have as a problem right now is to, in fact, get somebody in to do some project work. Perhaps the solution here might well be to not have Mr. Zatella considered as a interim manager, per se, but rather a project person to take on this catch-up work that Chairman Law has mentioned and have him in that role work under the direction of the chairperson and chairman and have this be a one-month issue where you try this out while you go off to Texas. Perhaps this could be a one-month decision.
When I come back, I go to the air races. I won't be back in the office till October. truly won't. And the other thing is, I believe that Mr. Zatella is capable of running that office on a day-to-day basis and in his what would be free time if he were to be a temporary part-time employee. He can work on those analyses that need to be done and the updating of the files that need to be done during that time. And that makes it, in my opinion, to a full-time job for a brief period of time. Yeah. Any other comments? Any further public comment? Any other comments that you'd like to make, Mr. Zatella?
Just briefly, if you're a manager, you run the business, and that's what there is to it. If you're a bad manager, bad things are going to happen. If you're a good manager, it doesn't matter what your contract says or any of that. It's how you work with the people. And I've talked with Gary only a little bit. He seems to be a really level-headed guy. I don't see this being an issue. I really don't. There will be things that I will be asked by this group to have done, and I will instruct him to do those things. That's the way the job works. It's not a big deal. I just don't think it's a huge issue. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on this item? At this time, the chair would entertain a motion to hire Mr. Zatella under an independent contractor agreement with the provision that he bill us as he sees fit for his services rendered for the period as it states in here to run 30 days after we find a replacement manager for the airport. And we will report back to the authority on his progress as he goes.
So move with the understanding that as he sees fit, this has to do with timing, not the remuneration amount.
Understand. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
I have a first by Member Barrett and a second by Treasurer Harvey.
Further discussion
on the motion. Member White.
Honestly, I have to tell you, I am very uncomfortable with the situation that we have not had the opportunity to review the contracts ahead of time. I am especially uncomfortable that Dirk has not been able to read these documents ahead of time. But I know you and council and the other members have put a lot of work into this, and I feel there's enough oversight that if this doesn't work, we can be out in 30 days. So I'm going to go ahead and support this when ordinarily not having access to the documents in a timely manner would cause me to vote no.
Understood. Further?
Yeah, this isn't the most comfortable situation that we've faced, and I'm sorry to hear about the disagreement amongst people on the airport. However, having lived in this town as long as I have been here, I've never heard of anything else going on out there. Let's just be honest about it. If it weren't temporary, I couldn't go near this, but it needs to be done, and we need to do it and move forward and get ourselves someone under what the next item talks about. So let's just move forward.
That being said, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Vice Chair Vowell is a nay. The rest of those present are ayes. The motion is carried. Moving on to item two. Oh, by the way, I know that Mr. Zatilla has a previous engagement that he has to be at this evening, and I thank you for being here tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.
Okay. Already taking time off, huh?
Yeah, already. I just want to thank you for your support, and I promise to do my very best, and like I said, if you're not satisfied, you let me know, and I'll step down willingly. So thank you again.
Item F2, for possible action, discussion, and approval of plan for filling the airport manager vacancy, realignment of duties and positions, consideration of part-time positions, publishing or posting of job availability, and this item will be covered by Treasurer Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our group last meeting, we decided to do a committee, which is the chairman, the vice chair, and myself. We've had initial meeting to discuss sort of the framework. Part of it was obviously the dual mission of finding an interim, which now we have, and secondly, to prepare for looking for a permanent. So we are now in the middle of preparing two things. One, a job description that we can all agree on. So using all the input we got from the last few meetings, we got a lot of great input. There's people a part-time, full-time, a lot of discussions we're going to have and have had. That I think will be a great input to bring back to this group for further discussion. And secondly, an employment agreement. So I think those were two things missing prior, is having a real clear job description, what our expectations are, and having an employment agreement, so that is also very clear reporting to us and how we interact with that individual. So that's something that we'll prepare, obviously work with council once we get a draft, and hope to have back at our next meeting. The goal would be, of course, we want to do this as quickly as possible because we can't post a position until we know what we want. And frankly, I think there's some discussion to be had on the specifics about what this person should do, part-time, full-time, etc. So we need to get that very much clarified, all on agreement on this board before we can move forward. So that's what's happening. We'll continue to meet over the next month and hopefully have some structured documents back to this group before next meeting. Is that?
Yes, and in addition to that, I would mention that we have discussed asking for a proposal from the group that is operating the airport in Minden for their management of the site as well. And we hope to, once we get these documents settled and decided exactly where we want to go, that will be a contact for us to make in order to get them to provide a proposal for us.
I mentioned that we had some discussion that yes, we'll go out to individuals, but the idea that an organization would have multiple individuals that could come in and help with different facets. Somebody might be an expert in economic development, someone in aviation, someone FAA grants. There's a potential that we want to at least see a proposal and see if it makes sense for this airport and this group. So we thought we'd see that along with other individual ones. So just know that that's something we've discussed and we think we'd be beneficial for us to review.
So if I understand correctly, there's no action that needs to be taken at this time. This is more of a report to the authority. Very good. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions on the report? Otherwise, I would submit that we accept Treasurer Harvey's report and move forward to the next item. Member White.
So I know you said you've taken a lot of input from us in previous meetings. I guess I have a question for council. Generally, it's disallowed that we have a round robin discussion. So I know I have some pretty strong feelings as what needs to be in that job description. So is it acceptable if I were to send suggestions to the chairman, can she share them with the committee?
Yes, the committee's function is to collect information, okay, not make decisions. And under the open meeting law, right, that's expressly permitted. So yeah, I would, that point of contact probably should be the chairman. Send your input to the chairman and let the chairman disseminate it. But it's all going to come back to you too. So to the extent you're providing it, it's good because then it can be at least organized in a way that it's meaningful to everybody. But then it should all come back when you guys actually decide where you want to go with it.
Okay. So I just wanted to be clear that if the chairman and I have some back and forth, I mean, a lot of times I write things and people need clarification. What's that?
Including you?
Yeah, me sometimes. But as long as it's not a whiskey email, we're usually pretty good.
That's never happened to me except the time I misidentified Mr. White.
Okay, thank you.
If there are no further comments, we will accept the report and move on to item number 3. For possible action, approval of procedure to be used by airport engineer to assemble a planning advisory committee to give input on the development of the master plan, other instructions on the implementation of the master plan grant, AIP 31. Mr. Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Brian Fitzgerald, Atkins, airport engineer. Essentially, what I'm doing here is the beginning stages of the airport master plan. Part of that is to have a committee of representatives, albeit from the FAA, NDOT, state, local agencies, airport users, tenants, and any community representatives that would be interested in providing advice about the content of what would be in the master plan. This committee should not exceed 15 members, so it's going to be pretty much a broad range and it won't be heavy in one side or another. And at this point, all I'm really asking you to do is to ask your permission to solicit on behalf of the airport authority local officials and users and tenants and so forth to be put on a list to then be disseminated and chosen at the airport's discretion to be able to form this committee and then move forward with portions of the master plan. Was there any questions on that?
Any questions of the committee? Any public comment? Your report's accepted.
I would also like to say that this list can, or people who are interested in joining this potential list, they can contact myself directly and or the airport chairman through the airport manager's office on email. And I'd be more than happy to give that email out if anybody needs it.
Yeah, the email that's used at the airport's office most commonly is the cxp-mgr@att.net. Mr. Takis.
I was just going to add, ordinarily this kind of item wouldn't come to the authority. I urged Mr. Fitzgerald to allow me to put it on the authority simply because we don't have a point person administratively, an airport manager, who would normally deal with this day-to-day stuff. You guys have already approved the grant. You've already approved the project. And typically what would happen is the airport engineer would be sitting down with the airport manager and they'd start implementing the things you've approved. Given that we were without an airport manager for a little while here, I had urged him to simply put it on the agenda so that we're all in the loop as to what's going on. My guess is a lot of these administrative things are not going to appear before you going forward because it'll just be an implementation thing, unless Brian or in discussions with me, we think it's something that's important enough that it really should be heard by you and get your input before they proceed down the road. The idea is to build all the elements into the master plan. You're going to have plenty of opportunities to look at this draft as it's going forward, to give input, to give us direction as to where to take it. And then ultimately, you guys are the ones who get to approve it. So I just wanted to give you that background because it you know, like I said, ordinarily this probably wouldn't even have come to the airport authority.
I do have one question. During the last master plan process, how long was the process?
I believe it was 14 to 16 months, and that's the time frame we're looking at currently from when we actually get started. So we're looking at the end of 2018 if everything goes as planned.
Vice Chair.
How long does the plan cover actually once it's completed? Is it like 5 years, 10 years? Or?
It's approximately 10-year time frame. The previous master plan, I believe, was in 2002, and it essentially covered all the way through this past year, only because some of the projects that were talked about had extended, had they tracked out farther.
Treasurer.
I guess I just a question. You had on here a proposed action. Do we need to take action to cover this?
You don't, but if you wanted to, you could. I mean, you know, I kind of put it on there in case you felt that you should. I wanted to give you the option to do it. I think that they, at this point, the airport engineer really doesn't need any additional authority from you to go forward and start collecting names and start building this committee. But you're just trying to be an abundance of caution here.
I'm asking for permission to go forward on behalf of the airport, and I just wanted you to be able to direct me as necessary. And if you don't feel like you should go forward at this point and you want to have more input, then you want to make a motion on that as well.
I think this is an informational item more than anything else. You've already, by signing the grant and accepting it, we have made the commitment to go forward, and I think this is managerially your bailiwick to do. So unless somebody else has other feelings about that, I don't necessarily think we need a... I don't think we need a motion to approve the committee. That's all included in the grant, right?
Right.
How are you going to put together this committee? Who's going to be on it, or volunteers, or what?
It's going to be a request for volunteers. It's going to be soliciting, like, the public entities, if they have anybody who'd be interested in joining this committee. And that would be the next step, is to go search for these individuals, compile the list, whether it is a list of 10 or 100, and then from there we'd be able to determine who would best fit for this. And this will be a joint between myself, another consultant, and the airport authority.
So the final group would be brought to us before it was finally approved?
Correct, yes. The whole idea right now is just to get names and people who are interested.
And I would suggest those of us who are on the board who have contacts on the airport and outside the airport, if you feel you have somebody that has expertise or would like to see the airport go in a specific direction, that you, and you know, push them toward volunteering and sending in their desires to that CXBMGR email address, and I can forward them on to him if necessary. Any other comments? Then we will accept that as an informational item, and Godspeed.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next item on the agenda, item G. Do you have anything further to report as the airport engineer's report? Mr. Fitzgerald.
I'm back. North Apron project, I believe the timer has been fixed and the lights are illuminating now as requested. And we're in the test phase at this point to see how they work. Is it too much light? Is it not enough light? And the timing and so forth. So that is finally been taken care of. Granite is in the final steps of giving all their closeout documents to us. So we're very close to being able to close the project out and pay all the retainage and move on with the FAA to get the next project going. I envision that this will be probably by the end of September, we'll have everything closed out on this project and we'll have all of our final numbers at that point. It still will be below the overall budget, approximately about $100,000, but once all said and done, just depend upon how much longer it'll take to get those final pieces of paper. So, any questions on
that? Vice Chair.
What happens to that extra money? Do we have to give it back if we're under budget?
We essentially didn't take that money. But we do forfeit, say, that $100,000 back to the FAA, and they will use that money for other items such as other grants that have gone over budget.
In general.
So we were given a do-not-exceed amount, and we did not exceed. We went under.
Yeah, and on the positive side of that, they look first when they have those excess funds at airports that are in our region. And so if there's another airport, like in Nevada, that needed more money for their grant, they had overruns, that's probably where it would go first. So the fact that we didn't use up all that grant probably still benefits us as flying members of the state.
Thank you very much. Backing up just a moment, Mr. Leish, did you have any comment at all on the item number 3 that had to do with the master plan?
No.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the airport manager's report. As the person that's been sitting in that office for the last month or so, I can tell you that there were few breadcrumbs left on the carpet in that office. And there are things that need to be looked at, and I plan to take that on when I get back with my feet under me after these next two commitments. But other than that, the bills are paid, things are current, and I'm hoping to clarify a bunch of the things that have been kind of muddy for a while. So, moving on.
Thank you for stepping up.
You're welcome. Next is the legal counsel's report, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that, the Board of Supervisors on July 20th approved the change to the Title 19 for the hangar use policy. We sent out emails to each of the tenants saying, okay, you've got 60 days to provide us the documentation so we can verify you have aeronautical use, and we've already gotten a lot of certification forms signed, sent back to us already. I'm going to send out reminders again because, we're almost 30 days into that 60-day period. Once we collect up all that information, then we'll sit down, look for ways to corroborate the information so that we can check off hangars that we can readily establish based on those records our aeronautical use, and then we can focus in on any hangars that where we think there's an issue or a problem. And then that step, my expectation is I would come to you and either suggest we get additional information or we do an inspection of the hangar or we take some other action so we could verify that we've got aeronautical use. I think there's a little bit of concern from at least one of the tenants that I got back that they may have empty hangars. Well, the people contacted me have a whole bunch of hangars, and at any one time, they rent them out. At any one time, there may be an empty hangar. So I told them that we expect that as long as they're advertising to try and get a tenant. And in that case, that hangar operation is based solely on tenants, and so they're actively trying to get that filled. So we may get some certification forms back saying, I'm empty right now. And then my inclination on those would be, okay, show us who was in there last. Show us what you're doing to get it rented, and then that would satisfy the aeronautical use. But beyond that, everybody who's sent in a certification form so far has aircraft that they've identified in the hangar. And the few that I've checked so far, I've only checked a couple, but the few that I've checked, when you check the N number registration, it ties right back to that person, so it corroborates that information. So far, so good.
Member White.
So on these empty hangars, once they do
become occupied, what's the timeline for reporting that? The yearly report, or come run right up and tell us?
It's actually in the ordinance, and I can't remember if it's 30 or 60 days, but any change, then they're to notify us. And the idea is that we would like to have an ongoing current inventory of what we have out there and evidence to show the FAA and others that we have aeronautical use going on in each of our hangars.
I know of a particular instance where someone decided that they were going to vacate the hangar and move out as a result of the notice that went out. Did we clearly articulate in the notice what the allowable uses are, or did we just roll it up as a single phrase that said aeronautical use?
No, it included the FAA policy, which outlines each of the aeronautical uses.
Okay.
So those things went out together. That's the first I've heard that we've had this effect on anybody. It kind of surprises me, because all we're asking them is to tell us what they should be doing already under the terms of their lease.
I just found this out 2 days ago, but yeah. We reviewed it, and their usage of the hangar would have been an allowable use, but they were under the impression from the letter that they weren't. So they've actually liquidated pretty much all the assets in there and they're moving out. So could we possibly highlight those or boiler those usages down in the next notice that goes out for the people that haven't replied yet, so that it's more clear what is allowed?
Yes, I can do that.
Before we lose another one.
Yeah. That's a strange. I have to say, that's a very strange reaction to sell your stuff and move out. You know, because I don't think there was anything in that document that should have been threatening to anybody, unless they were actually running a business that they were not allowed to run in that hangar, or they were doing something else. I can understand that. But if they were using it to store aircraft, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, my impression wasn't that. It was that it had the letters FAA somewhere in the notice, and that makes a lot of people run.
Thank you, Mr. Takis. I would go to the treasurer's report. Mr. Harvey.
Okay, in front of you, you have in front of you have the latest report. I do have some extra copies up here for those who'd like them, that Beth was nice enough to run before she ran off again. So we are not quite up to where we want to be. They were able to find, as Chairman Ma said, pay some bills. Beth has some work to do before we finalize the year. She has to move some things around, assets around. So it probably won't be until next month. We'll have a final reporting of our fiscal year, if you will. But just looking at the report that shows our profit and loss budget versus actual, I think you see it's pretty positive. We had a 22% increase in the income. We were slightly under 20% in expense. You know, obviously, good year for rock sales. Always good at the end of the year, right, for us. You can see where the terminal donation came in to offset the building. So overall, you know, we had a real positive ending on the year. And we're starting off the first month. I didn't see anything, large anomalies that we weren't aware of, like the AWAS expense that we're going to get reimbursed, things like that. So hopefully in the next few months we'll get a little more clarity and get the year cleaned out. Let me know if you have any questions. I'd do my best to answer them, or Chairman Law might even know she paid the bill.
Are we trending well?
We're trending well. There you go. There's money in the account. I always like to finish with that.
All right, the next item, thank you, Mr. Harvey. The next item is report from authority members. Are there any reports from authority members other than those that have been provided so far? Not seeing any, we'll move forward. And a last opportunity for public comment. None seen, we'll move forward. Those people who have agenda items for the next regular meeting, please contact me or our council, and we will accommodate that. Other than that, seeing no further business to come before us this evening, it is 7:10, and we are adjourned.